Hey, Chicago. What do you say? Cubs gonna win today.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Pointless Exercise Podcast. It's time for the Cubs Podcast with, hey, it's Mike Prasnowski.
Hey, Andy, how you doing? It's been a while since we got to talk to each other.
Good to see you. As we're recording this, the Chicagoland area is being pelted by Tom Skilling's revenge in his final night in the WGN Weather Center, whatever they call it. All four seasons are happening at once, just for Tom.
Is he still just focusing his attention on, like, Fairbanks, Alaska right now? Or, like, is he actually talking about Chicago weather?
He's got to be in heaven. You probably never get him to leave.
Right, exactly.
I'll just wait till the storm's over. It ended 8 hours ago, Tom. No, look here. Yeah, never mind. On many of these podcasts, since the season ended, it's basically just been me bitching about the Cubs not bringing back Cody Bellinger. And I don't know, I got to find something new to bitch about because they brought Cody Bellinger back. How surprised were you that at the deal, I guess?
This isn't my own opinion. This is opinions I had heard from other more national baseball podcasts, but like, this felt like kind of the direction that the Bellinger contract was going to go, kind of like in the model of the Carlos Correa contract with the Twins, in that, you know, he wasn't going to get the initial asking price that he and Boris were asking for at the beginning of free agency. And he's still a pretty young guy. So, you know, if he opts out after this year or the next year, or he goes, you know, the duration of the 3 years with the Cubs, he'll still probably be at an age where he could go and get another, like, actual big contract like he was looking for this offseason.
I mean, to me, it smells like either he didn't get any other serious offers or he didn't get them from anybody that he found appealing. And so this was a, hey, that's where I want to play. Let's structure it in a way where I get a lot of money, and he does. I mean, he's going to make $30 million this year. We're not going to hold a bake sale for Cody.
He made, well, hey.
He made 12 and a half last year. It's a pretty nice.
The Ricketts are suddenly now asking for that money back, though. Right. So, you know.
Now we got to fund. We need to give them the exact same amount so they can beef up security around the park. I would guess, for all the Nick Madrigal groupies. Keep them away.
Yes, of which there are many.
And they're very small. They get under those damn gates, and that's very difficult. $30 million just for chicken wire to wrap around the bottom of the gates to keep the Madrigal fanatics out.
They can just slide their way in between the bars of the gates, too, because they're that skinny. Oh, man.
I was on Tom Loxas's podcast last week, and he thought it would be a 3-year contract. And I'm like, oh, come on, he can do better than that. And it was a 3-year contract.
Yeah.
It's not really a 3-year contract. I think unless Cody goes off this year, which is, you know, Bleacher Nation's dream, right? He has a huge deal and then leaves. It's quite the dream. But I think unless he has a huge year, I think it's a 2-year contract. Because I can't imagine the market in general is going to change that much next offseason that you would be comfortable giving up a guaranteed $30 million to go out and see what you could get. I mean, I'm sure Boris can spin it as well. We'll make that money up over multiple years, blah, blah, blah. I think there's a decent chance that he opts out after 25, not after 24. But, I mean, if he goes out and he hits, you know, 300 again with 30 homers and 100 RBIs, and now he's like, look, I did it twice, then he's probably tempted. But if he has a nice year, hits 280 with 25 homers and 90 RBIs and plays gold glove defense and center and first, you'd think that's worth a lot of money. He may be like, I don't know if, you know, why don't I take 30? Hey, the 30's in the bag.
Right.
And then he'll only be 30 years old at the end of that second year.
Exactly. Right. I mean, knowing the Cubs' luck with contracts like this, where there's a bunch of opt-outs, you know, early in the contract for outfielders who had previously been all-stars, it's all setting up for Cody Bellinger to just completely bomb and go back to being the player he was, you know, the last 3 years that he was in L.A., much like Jason Hayward.
They're going to announce, like, some team sponsorship with what's that electric car that's not Rivian? They're going to announce a deal with Rivian.
Yep.
They're going to have shoulder patches. I'm going to announce that on opening day. Slap the shoulder patch on. They're going to bring a Rivian out onto the field, and it's going to run right over Cody before his first at bat. And
I thought you were going to say the patch was going to electrocute him.
Yeah, right. Cody tries to plug it in. And Cody, what are you doing? Get your arm out of there. Is this electric? The car, this, the patch.
Can this charge my weed vape pen?
Yeah, or that's just it. Maybe it'd be funny if Cody just goes full stoner, like from day one. Like,
right.
You see, like, it's, you know, between pitching changes, you see him disappear into the behind. Like, it just puffs the smoke coming out of the thing, and he's like, you know, fly balls are just flying over his head, and he's like, hey, Ian, what's up? Go get the ball. Hey, what?
Oh, man.
It's funny, you know, the Jason Hayward contract had that opt out after 3 years.
Right.
Theo and Jed were convinced this is a 3-year deal because he's going to be great. And then we're going to just let him go. Our, you know, waves of young talent are going to be ready right behind him. And none of that happened.
Nope. No.
He didn't leave. He wasn't great. He didn't leave. There was no wave of young talent. Other than that, it all worked out.
Hey, you got the one. And you know what? If you get that with if you get that during this 3-year stretch with Cody Bellinger, I think you'll take it just the same.
Yeah,
or 2 years, or 1 year.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that'd be a pretty good deal. Yeah, it's funny. I mean, the you know, the Hayward, the locker, that's an expensive locker room speech. But A, not my money, and B, I waited my whole life to see a world, them win a World Series, and they did. So I'm not going to complain about it. It would have been nice if after a couple more years it was clear he sucked, that the big market Cubs would have said, well, that's a sunk cost, but we need a better player out there. No, they never did that.
We'll
get better. Just have, we'll get a new hitting coach, and they'll put his hands in a different spot, and that'll fix it. Actually, that's what'll happen, right? So Cody, tomorrow at the press conference, John Malley will be there going, oh, he completely fixed his swing. What? No. He fixed it last year. Don't fix it again.
I feel like he'll be fine because he along with guys like Corey Seager were like some of the big left-handed hitters that really benefited from like the shift not being there last year. You know, he hit a lot more balls in play last year, and you know, it, like you brought up on the podcast before, his like average exit velocity went way down, but it all worked for him. And like you said, also, this is kind of the ideal spot for him. The other team that was really harping on him to get him was San Francisco, and that was the worst possible spot that he could go, because any fly ball with depth is, you know, not guaranteed to be a home run.
Yeah, that's a bad park for him. Yeah, Wrigley is tailor-made for his new revamped approach. Yeah, it seemed like such a no-brainer, and I give Jed credit. He didn't fuck it up when it was clear that he had won. He took the win. He didn't, you know. Although, who knows? maybe they were first. Boris came to him with like, all right, he'll take a 5-year deal at $6 million total. And Jed's like, no, get him on his knees. I want him apologizing for even opting out of that last deal. I want that. And he ends up with $80 million instead. Ah, shit, I kind of screwed that up.
Have him there like Joe Pesci in Casino talking to a cowboy. You go apologize right now.
Now, it was not without its cost, though.
Right.
Cody's back, but that meant the Cubs had to make a roster move. And I feel very much like Jeff Samardzija when they made the trade since Scott Feldman and Steve Clevenger to Baltimore for a couple of slappies, Jake Arrieta and Pedro Strop.
Never heard of them.
How do you? No team gets better by trading Bailey Horn.
Oh, definitely not. No team gets better by trading Bailey Horn back to his old team.
Like, yeah. Wait a minute. If they're taking guys back, why can't they take Nick Madrigal?
Right.
Just put him in his suitcase.
Yeah, I mean, I heard the guy they got back, Matt Thompson, you know, you look at the stats on Baseball Reference and it's not the prettiest, but is a guy who had reached 97, and not a lot of guys who reached 97 in the Cubs bullpen right now. So, you know, could be a guy that later this year we might see.
The Cubs are still not sold on the whole velocity could very much be a trend. They don't like guys who throw hard, and they don't like guys who hit guys who throw hard. Yeah, no, that's not real baseball. throw me a curveball. That's what I want. I'll swing at that. Yeah, so you referenced me talking about Cody's declining. His exit velocity was down. His launch angle was down. And that a lot of people were like, oh, this is bad. So I went back and looked at his Baseball Savant numbers. And they were down, but they were down from his two terrible years, 21 and 22. And they were down from his MVP year in 19, but not that much. Like, part of his struggles in those two terrible years, which I assume, I'm just going to, you know, why not, I'll just assume. I assume that if, you know, he was having a hard time with his shoulder, because we know he screwed it up.
Yeah.
High five with Kike Hernandez in the World Series. It's one of the great injuries of all time. I think he was trying to generate, I think he was swinging harder and trying to hit the ball harder to compensate for, you know, whatever he's feeling in his shoulder. and it was having zero success with it. Like the better exit velocity and the higher launch angle were not working. He was terrible. He was an awful player for 2 years.
Kind of reminiscent of like Chris Bryant when he was hurt too. You would see so often like he would just like immediately take the hand off the bat when he made contact.
Yeah. Guys, because do it all
the time.
Much
discomfort.
Yeah, you can't do it naturally. You try to come up. Well, maybe if I do this, or maybe if I do that, and it just you get worse and worse and worse. It's like being on the golf course and you hit a couple of bad drives and then get mad and decide you're going to hit the next one really hard and you hit it 86 yards. So I was less alarmed than I was before I looked at those numbers. Cause his exit velocity was not great. It was like 87.8 miles an hour, something like that. But it was like 90.9 when he was MVP. It's not like he was 101 and just crushing everything. This is kind of how he hits. And he was an MVP hitting that way. And he was very good for the Cubs last year. I think if there's one thing he's probably going to be hard pressed to duplicate, it's the batting average, just because he changed his two-strike approach and it worked like incredibly well. Like his BABIP on two strikes was like 368. It's like 100 and some points higher than league average, more than that maybe. Yeah. And I think you could still be really good and you don't hit 368 with two strikes and you hit 294 instead of 309. It doesn't mean you had a worse year. I think there was a little. I think the stats are a little, there's a little puffery in there. But I don't think I think he's still a very, very valuable player, even if it comes down a little bit. Because the nice thing about Cody is he's good at everything.
Mm-hmm.
He hits for power. He hits for a decent average. Now he doesn't strike out as much. He's fast, even though he doesn't look like it. He's a great outfielder. He's a really good first baseman. It'd be nice if they could find a way for him to play center and first at the same time. Seems like a lot of running, but I'd give it a shot.
Like, yeah, having Bugs Bunny. Exactly.
Who's backing up Cody? Cody's backing up Cody at first. How is he doing this? I've never seen anything in my life. And Tom's over there, we only have to pay for 8 guys, right? That's how this works.
Right. Yeah, who needs Shohei Ohtani when we got this guy?
I really thought it would be funny. Now, from the little we've, got to see of Pete Crow Armstrong.
As Rick Sutcliffe, yep.
Yeah, Pete Crow. He seems like just a really cool guy. Like, for a kid, and he's a kid, he's 21, he really does seem to have, like, he seems to have a very good perspective on things. I really thought it would be funny if, after they announced Cody had resigned, and the reporters ran to Pete. Pete should have acted like he was super pissed, even for like 2 minutes. Just gone on what the hell they need him for? They got me. What's he? I'm glad they're paying him $30 million to sit on the bench and watch me play. I think it would have been funny if he'd have done that and then said, "I'm just kidding." But he took it really well. Or Mike Talkman could have done that. Talkman should have been like throwing stuff in the clubhouse.
Supposed to be the hometown hero. Damn it! Don't you know about the summer of Mike Palatine?
The reality of it is,
Talkman, yeah,
the guy who should be Talkman should be so happy. Like,
yes,
this basically assured
he's
going to spend the whole year in Chicago, because unless Cody gets hurt, Talkman is kind of firmly entrenched as the extra outfielder.
Right.
So even if Pete and Cody are both on the team, he's going to be on the team. It just means fewer at bats. It means less chance to prove he sucks, because he does.
It's like the inverse of Corey Patterson in 2003 that you always talked about, with like how his numbers were going way down until the All-Star break and he got hurt and it froze his numbers at a good level. But here, in a limited role for Talkman, yeah, exactly.
It's a perfect role
for
him.
Being asked. Right.
He's not going to get enough at bats for people to go, oh yeah, he kind of stinks. It's the Bob Uecker, where Bob said the less he played, the better he was. And then, bench me or trade me. That was the demand he made once. Why are you playing me so much? He literally claimed in his book, although his book, a lot of it is just Bob being Bob. 1 year in Milwaukee, the regular catcher got hurt and Bob was going to have to take over. And he broke his thumb on a foul ball in like the fifth game. And he said, I literally think that added like 5 years to my career. They couldn't tell that I sucked.
That's outstanding.
Like, sorry, I'm on the injured list too now. Damn it.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Damn. So yeah, imagine how Adam Greenberg must have felt reading that. I said, imagine how Adam Greenberg must have felt having to read that. Should have added more years to his career.
I should still be playing.
Yeah. Oh, well. I mean, speaking of Bob Uecker.
No, Adam, it's still, that's still the concussion. It's only been.
That's just in your head.
21 years. Or how long? 2006, right? That's when he took one off the noggin. 18 years.
05.
05.
Yeah, it was the same series that Matt Mertens got called up.
You should know that because we just did left fielders, and Matt Mertens was the regular outfielder in 2006. His first full season with the Cubs.
Yep, him and his softballs.
Softballs.
But speaking of Bob Uecker, you know, up in Milwaukee, we got Craig Counsell as the manager now. And I got to say, like, I think that is the much, it's like right on par with how big a move re-signing Cody Bellinger is for me. As anyone who follows me on Twitter knows, wasn't exactly the huge fan of David Ross, and neither were you, Andy. Did a little research today, and, you know, Craig Counsell up in Milwaukee, he was there from 2017 till last year. Obviously had the two great Christian Yelich years where he finished first and second in the MVP voting, and then also the year that Yelich won it, Lorenzo Cain finished seventh in the MVP voting. Other than those 2 years, the highest that any Brewers player finished for MVP was 11th.
Okay, well, so can I guess who it is?
I don't have it exactly written down, but I can look it up for you. We can research
this
crap. Was
it Dan Vogelbach?
I don't think it was Dan Vogelbach.
I'll just assume it was Dan Vogelbach. Or was maybe it was Victor. Could have been Victor Caratini.
You know who I think it actually was? Same position, probably Yasmani Grandal the 1 year he was there.
Maldonado.
Martin Maldonado.
Getting
now Cubs, White Sox, and Brewers legend. Yeah.
He played for the Brewers for what, like 5 years. He got like 9 more hits for them than he did the Cubs. Which was none.
Yeah, exactly. And I know, you know, you had talked about it over the offseason that like the whole Counsell signing and the narrative of it, of him being with a previously on a low payroll team, that it could send the wrong messages to the Ricketts. And, you know, obviously we're thankful that it didn't send the wrong messages to the Ricketts and Cody Bellinger is back. But just the simple fact that he got, you know, production that was greater than the sum of the Brewers' parts all those years in Milwaukee, you know, the Cubs going into this year, I don't feel like there's any Eric Hosmers or Trey Mancini's or Tucker Barnhart's or anyone who's just going to be an automatic out that's going to sit on the bench most of the time, or Edwin Rios, that is going to, you know, get playing time that they don't deserve and not be worthy of an MLB roster spot. And, you know, I don't know where your take is on that, Andy, but, you know, fire away if you have one.
Is Edwin Rios might still be sitting on the bench at Wrigley, waiting to go.
He might still be.
Am I ever going to hit Edwin? It's the season's been over. They're in spring training now. What? Well, are you saying you don't think that that council's going to push for Garrett Cooper, Dom Smith, and David Peralta to all not only be on the roster opening day, to be in the lineup? Really?
Maybe before Friday night I would have, but not now.
Wouldn't it be funny if Council leaves Milwaukee and this year they score like 9 runs a game? They just go ape shit. I'm like, oh, that skinny right. little guy was holding us back. Amazing. So yeah, you were right. You know, I've talked about this before. I was just genuinely just shocked that happened. I couldn't believe they fired their precious little David Ross and replaced him with Craig Council. It was great. Right. And then we were all excited, and oh, this is Judd's. Clearly, they're going for it. You don't get this guy if you're not going to go for it. And then we all gave the like, well, they're the Cubs. Let's think. What could the ulterior motive be? Maybe they're just going to go cheap. And then the whole offseason, it wasn't just them. You know, nobody really, except for the Dodgers, spent any money. And it just that just kind of, we're like, oh, God. Here we were trying to be, like, funny and pessimistic, and it's true. Well, yeah. They did give $30 million for Cody Bellinger. And the nice thing about it is that he immediately fixed two huge issues with the on the first 2 days.
Right.
And that was Christopher Morel can actually gets to play third base. At least try it. And
right.
Ian Happ has batted first and second in his two Cacti League appearances. Not third.
Right.
And those are two things that just would not have happened with El Baldo in the corner of the dugout. It is funny, you know, Craig has said more than once, he's like, the batting average is not that important. You know, you probably could do just as well if he just batted everybody from, you know, best to worst.
Right.
And then, they even wrote that today. Like, so then Ian Happ's like, well, if batting order is not important, can I bat third? No. It's not that unimportant, Ian. Sorry, you can't do it.
Yeah. Sorry, Ian, you weren't exactly third on the team in average last year. Although, maybe he was.
He might have been. But yeah, was it Sahadev and Mooney put together their like best guess at the lineup, and they had Happ leading off, and they had Seiya batting second. And I like that. So like Nico, I like Nico. I think he's a good player, and I've said this, and I still believe it. I think we will get a sign that they're actually good, that they've turned into a good team, when he can't bat near the top of the order anymore, because they've got other better options.
Yeah.
You know, because he's a guy who...
That's a good way to put it.
He doesn't... You know, he hits for a good average, but he doesn't really walk, and he doesn't slug. He's a great second baseman. You know, the rule changes, they could not have found a more perfect guy to play there with the rule change. So it's not a question of, is Nico good enough to be their second baseman? Of course he is. But your offense is going to be limited if he's batting at the top of it. I also kind of wonder, I didn't look, you know, Ross, I mean, the Cubs ran a lot last year.
They did. I know Nico, he had 43 stolen bases. I will pull up the leaderboard right here as far as they stole 143 bases, were caught 34 times. At least as far as the stolen base rankings goes, they were fourth in the National League in steals.
They were pretty simple. You see where the Brewers were there? Because I think Rowdy Tellez led them with none. I think that was...
in a league where it was way bases. More... Yeah, way more encouraged to steal, you know. Let's see.
Of course, you got to get on base to steal. The Brewers didn't do that very well either.
That you make a good point. Actually, you know what? Brewers, above league average. League average was 121. They had 129.
All right. So they'll still be... He's not going to eliminate the running game.
Right.
But he might not be so... That seemed to be like Ross's like one move. I think maybe he just liked the sign. It's like my theory about why college basketball refs call charges so much. And my theory is that the charge sign is so much more fun to give than the block.
Yes.
You have to do the weird, like, you kind of have to hop on one foot and like... You know, to make fists and hit yourself in the hips. We're at the charge. You get to go right behind your head and then give the big,
Right. It's like a whole dance move.
Yeah. Itching to call it because it's fun.
perhaps the reason why, like, David Ross wanted to run so much is just so he could tell, like, everyone else on the team, like, if that was me behind home plate, I would have thrown that guy out.
That's right. Or maybe it was how about this? This could be it. We should, we'll get somebody on this, do the research. I'll call Ed Hardick. Maybe he knows. Maybe the sign for the Cubs to steal last year was Ross would pick his nose. They're like, hey, he's running again?
Right.
Ah. No, he had a jalapeno for lunch. Oh, what? He's up there. He's in that business. So anyway, Bellinger's return clarifies a lot of the, at least the early lineup, right?
Yeah.
Pete Crow gets to go enjoy a rented condo in Des Moines for a little while. That'd be good for him. I just think that we know he's going to hit in Arizona. Everybody hits in Arizona, so you can't get too excited when he hits 412 in Arizona. It's just going to happen. Just let him go to Des Moines and get a few more at-bats in and let him enjoy, you know, remember what it's like to get hits.
When the weather in Chicago is like it is in Arizona right now, then he can come back up.
But if Cody's going to get hit by the Rivian, I mean, Pete's going to be up game two.
Yeah, there we go, yeah.
But anyway, so Cody goes to center. The great Mike Bush gets to play first. But they really don't have a DH. If Morel plays third.
Yeah, probably got to have, like, assuming he's still here, Patrick Wisdom, maybe Garrett Cooper makes it, and that's your DH. Maybe the great Matt Mervis is your DH. I don't know.
I have a new great idea that I just came up with today, just hours ago. I'm going to use my whatever authority I have with the Cubs. I don't know if they have any. Do I have any? Matt Shaw is going to make the opening day roster.
Oh, this would be a fever dream for me, because I've been tracking Matt Shaw a lot in the minors. I have been, as my Twitter name has indicated, I am a Prospect pervert, and I've been tracking his numbers in the minors. He has done better than, like, any other player that's been drafted in the first round last year. So you're on to something there, Andy.
The 1978 National League Rookie of the Year. Do you know who that was?
78. That sounds like that had to be one of those years where it was a Dodger winning it, because it feels like that was like that era where like they won like five in a row or something like that.
Yeah, that was 1978 Rookie of the Year was Atlanta Barb's third baseman Bob Horner.
Oh, never mind.
Do you know when Bob Horner was drafted?
Was it in 77?
It was 1978.
What?
He made his big league debut on June 16th, just days after being named the number one pick. And he won Rookie of the Year for the Braves.
Wow.
He never spent a day in the minor leagues. Matt Shaw already spent 2 months in the minors. He's overqualified. Guess who Bob Horner beat out for Rookie of the Year? A Hall of Famer.
A Hall of Famer. Would this have been around the time that Bruce Sutter would have made his major league debut?
Now, Sutter maybe Bruce Sutter. Yeah, this was a guy who, his rookie year, his on base average was .311. His slugging was .312.
Wow!
It was Ozzie Smith of the Padres. Nah,
that makes that for those offensive numbers. That makes sense.
He did hit a homer. I don't know that it was. We know one left handed because he would save that for Tom Niedenfuhr in the playoffs.
Go crazy, folks.
So Horner hit 35 homers, I think, his second year. He was always hurt. That was his big issue. He missed. I had his stats up a minute ago. Why would I bother to click on him? No. I don't think he ever played more than 124 games in a season. But for his 162 game averages were 35 homers and 109 RBIs. He was.
Wow.
He was the first player ever to win the Golden Spikes Award for the best player in college baseball. He was Arizona State. Mm. And he hit his 9 homers as a freshman were only bested by one player ever so far in Arizona State history. Barry Bonds.
Barry Bonds?
Hit 11.
Barry Bonds. Wow. Yeah. Wow. I'm looking at his numbers right now. 23 home runs in 89 games. That's getting it done.
He had a homer in his first game off of a Hall of Famer, off of Burt Blyleven.
Wow. Surprised I haven't heard about this guy before. I consider myself a pretty big baseball nerd, especially
yeah,
for that
Dale
era.
Murphy but... were the shit on the other superstation, TBS.
TBS, yeah. That was like when the Braves sucked, too,
yes,
that era.
They were bad. That's why he could go right from Arizona State to the Braves lineup.
Yeah, that's all making sense now. Okay.
So that's just a long way around. Let me say, Matt already overqualified. Just let him and Morel share third. The other one DHs.
I love it. Let's get him in there.
So I do wonder now. Clearly, these are the Cubs. They're not going to do that. Do we think there's any chance? I mean, barring injury, do we think there's any chance he doesn't make his like big league debut in 2024?
Possibility. I mean, they could always figure that, like, it's tough to say, because, like, do you think there's a chance that, like, he's more than likely going to start in Tennessee? Yep.
That's where he finished. He made it all the way to Double A last year.
And I think he only had a handful of games there, so it would make sense for him to start there. I mean,
well,
maybe
AAA's,
if he's not...
Triple A is worthless. It really is.
That's,
like,
that's
he should make
a
the
good
jump.
Point.
Pete could have done it and done exactly what he did. He could have gone over 13 if he'd gone right from Tennessee to the big leagues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they should just call it AAA Quad A, because that's
yeah,
where
he played 15
those
games.
Guys are.
15 games at Tennessee. Hit three homers, 9 RBIs, slugged 523.
Like, the only thing I could think of where he doesn't make it up is, like, say if, like, third base is just a huge black hole for the Cubs at that point, and he's not quite ready yet, and the Cubs decide they need to trade for someone again. Like, that's what could block it, in my opinion. Or, you know, they shift Michael Busch over to third, because that was his natural position with the Dodgers, and trade for a first baseman. I mean, I'll tell you this.
You
know, you
don't even have to do that. You could move. But I think it seems like nobody wants to see Michael Busch play third base. But he could go to third, and Cody could just go to first, and Pete could play center.
Right.
And then Morel is your DH. So you probably have filled all your spots. I just think it would be cool. And that's just do it because it's cool. What reason do you need?
Right. I mean, to me, I guess it kind of depends on, like, where he's at in his development compared to, like, how the Cubs are producing at third base. If he has been at AAA at a time where the Cubs feel like they're desperate, they may just call him up.
Or if he just hits the shit out of the ball, they may be like, all right, fine, let's just do it.
Right.
And then the nice thing is, I wonder, I would be, if I were Jed, I would be more willing to bring a young player up now that you have Counsell as your manager, as opposed to Ross, who would, you know, hey, Matt, that's nice. You could sit right over there for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll get you in a bat late in the game. Just take it all in.
I'm almost surprised that Alexander Canario didn't ask for a trade this offseason because of that. I mean, luckily, maybe that would have been the case if David Ross was still here.
It was so bad that Evan Altman apparently theorized that the Canario was hurt and that the Cubs had just promoted him as like a reward for working so hard in rehab and getting back. And that's why he wasn't playing, because he wasn't really capable of playing, and then he hit a grand slam in like his second
right. Yeah, if that's
like,
the
I
case,
don't think
wait
that
a...
was the case.
Right. I mean, they wound up doing so anyway, but if that's the theory behind it, way to burn his service time.
Well, not that. They wasted, you know, he came up in September when they expanded the roster. You got to add a pitcher and a player. And it was basically like they just didn't add anybody. And it's not like they needed, you know, at least thankfully we know that the Cubs didn't wear out. They didn't, like, everybody wasn't on fumes late in the season. It's a good thing.
Good thing
you just wasted the extra roster spot with a guy that your manager wouldn't play.
Yeah, exactly. When the day happens where you create a new wheel and that lands on 2023, that might be as long of an episode as the 2003 one is.
But yeah, so it is interesting now. I wonder, I tried to do a little roster prognosticating who was going to get those final spots. And it wouldn't be that hard for the Cubs to finagle it so that all the duds, Wisdom, Master Bunny, and Madrigal, all make the opening day roster. Mm-hmm. But it does seem like they are actively bringing in potential Patrick Wisdom replacements.
Definitely. Especially with the Garrett Cooper invite.
Yeah, and then I know Dom Smith is a left-handed hitter and Peralta's a left-handed hitter. But if those guys ever are on the big league roster, I mean, Peralta, I guess, might be in Auchman's spot. But if Dom Smith is on the team,
I could imagine Peralta.
Do you really need Patrick Wisdom and Dom Smith? You don't need either. But do you need them both? No, I don't think so.
Right, exactly. I could see Peralta making it as like a fifth outfielder, just so like you're not having to force PCA onto the roster and you could get him every day playing time in Iowa. It's funny. Another thing I looked up with Council too on his teams, look at some of the first basemen he had with the Brewers, because it's a lot of guys who were kind of in the Dom Smith profile, where it's like these pretty sizable dudes who strike out a lot, could hit a lot of home runs, and Dom, you know,
that's the problem.
Yeah,
he's just burly without the power.
Right.
He played basically every day for the Nats last year.
And well, it's the Nats.
I know, but so you give him a full season and 527 at bats, 12 homers, 46 RBIs.
Who was the third baseman the Cubs had in like 2021 that like was super light hitting? Matt Duffy.
Oh,
that's Matt like Duffy. Matt Duffy numbers. Yeah.
Duffy. The other close to full season Dom had was 2021 with the Mets. He played 145 games, 11 homers, 58 RBIs. So that's pretty much what he is. Garrett Cooper, I mean, he's not good, but
surprisingly pretty good hitter last year.
Yeah, he gives you a lot more than Dom Smith.
Yeah.
Between the Padres and Marlins. So he must have got traded for Josh Bell at the deadline.
No, that was
He went back to the he got traded for Ryan Weathers.
Yep.
Former Cub star, Ryan Weathers.
Weathers.
Never played in a that's his dad. Ryan was in the organization, right? Or did I dream that? Maybe I dreamt that. Fat loser. He will be someday.
Listen, we're making.
I think I got him confused with Casey Weathers.
Look, it's fitting that we do all this Weathers talk on Tom Skillings last night.
Yeah, it was Casey.
Right,
that dude. Ooh, he's like a fish. His eyes on either side of his head, not his face. Oh, he went to Vanderbilt. Well, Casey McGee Weathers, and he almost spells it like.
Whoa! Really?
Like, what's his name? Casey McGee.
Yeah, the 08 Cubs third baseman turned brewer. Yeah. Wow.
Casey McGee. And then Casey McGee Weathers. We're way down the rabbit hole. Here was MCGHEE. He just needs another E tucked in front of the H. Man, that really is one of the worst looking people I've ever seen in my life. Whew.
Yeah. Jesus.
Oh, it's funny, though. This is not a podcast. Go to Casey Weathers' baseball reference page. Look at his picture, but then hover over it, and it's like a different dude is next to him. Like a guy who actually looks like a human.
You may have to DM that to me because I'm on my iPad right now. It's not working the same when I just put my finger on it.
Anyway, trust me. That's the worst. I've never seen anything like that. There's some bad baseball reference pictures, but oof. All right. Somehow we got on to Casey Weathers. That's not great. But yeah, Garrett Cooper.
Oh, boy.
He's okay. He'd be good. I don't know where you put him. Put him in Iowa so Mervis can't get any at-bats. That'd be great.
Right. Yeah, it could be your DH. We'll see. You know, assuming the whole Matt Shaw plan doesn't work out.
Now,
yeah, I don't know.
I wonder who they had to, like... So, when the Giants have brought Pablo Sandoval back, which just cracks me up.
God.
When I saw it on like the ticker, I thought, oh, they brought Pablo back to be a coach. No. Pablo's back trying to make the team. And this is when I learned that the teams give out these non-roster invites just kind of willy-nilly. But there's only a total number of players you can have in camp. And there were people who were like, I camp, some guy lost his chance to make the team because they had to bring Pablo Sandoval back. I'm like, I got news for you. If you're losing your spot to Pablo, you're probably not making the team. So I wonder
don't deserve it.
I wonder what star had to lose their spot in Cubs camp so they could bring Garrett Cooper in. Because it happened. We know it wasn't David Bodie.
No, it wasn't David Bodie.
Now, I missed this, and maybe you don't know. I shouldn't ask you this on the pod. I should ask this before. Did you see any of the game today?
I was only kind of tracking it on my phone.
I don't know who the announcers were. But... Mike Pusateri was not fond of these announcers, whoever they were. And one of them was going on. I have a feeling it was Alex Cohen, only because one of them was going on and on about how David Bodie might be a realistic option to play third for the Cubs this year. And boy, what a great return on investment he's been. It's like, what? Same David Bodie that I... You realize the walk-off Grand Slam is a long time ago and before he got this contract. So... No, he's been a terrible waste of money. I don't care. It's not my money. It's not even a lot of money, certainly by baseball standards. It's just one of the most ridiculous contracts ever.
It really is. It's
$15 million with like $12 million he's finally, this is it. But he's got two options.
Right.
Just like Cody. He's got two more options, just like Cody Bellinger.
Please tell me they're player options. Please tell me.
That would be great. Wouldn't it be funny if he turned it down?
Yeah.
$7 million option for 20. I got to go play somewhere. And then he turns it down. It kind of like what was his our old buddy the backup catcher from 2 years ago. I can't. I have these strokes.
I thought you were gonna say AJ Pollock with the White Sox because that's what he did when he was there.
Who was the catcher that they called? You know, their Triple A catcher who they brought up 2 years ago for a while.
And you're not talking about Taylor Davis, are you?
No, the other guy. God, this is bad. People screaming at
them. Hold on.
I hate this.
PJ Higgins?
Yeah, PJ Higgins. That one. PJ Higgins. How can I ever forget PJ Higgins? His dad yelled at Taylor during the obligatory. I'm interviewing the player's dad during his debut because she was talking through his at bat, which I loved. And she asked him, like, so are you guys going wherever the team's going next? And he's like, well, you don't have a schedule? It was great. PJ made it through waivers last year, shockingly, and then turned down his assignment because he wanted to go play in a different organization because he didn't think there was a future with the Cubs. And then he played in the minors all last year anyway.
Hey, you can only eat corn
been
so much.
One place that would ever give you a big league at bats. You might have wanted to stay.
The city of Des Moines wasn't buzzing enough for PJ Higgins.
Yeah. Well, he probably, PJ banged his way through Des Moines. He needed a new town. Going to Reno, man. Need some fresh.
Oh, man.
Need some fresh bar. Oh, where'd he go? He went to Arizona. Did he get a World Series ring? He went to Arizona. He did not play.
Well.
He did not play a big
game. He didn't go to Texas.
That's right. Oh, pennant win. They give rings. I know they give rings to the teams that won the pennant because I've worn Bob Dernier's.
Ah, there you go.
Did he come back to the Cubs
last year? Well, I'm looking at his AAA stats. Like, he went to Reno. He did spend some time in Iowa and then Reno. I don't know, like, what came first, but good for PJ if he's still collecting a check.
I think he left during the season. No, the Cubs bought him back. June 15th. Come on, PJ. He's like, oh, come on. I like it in Reno. No, come on. Back to Des Moines.
See, this is what helped the Diamondbacks propel past the Cubs in the standings for that last wild card spot. The fact that they ridded themselves of PJ Higgins and dropped him on us.
If you go back through their playoff odds, took an odd blip up on June 15th. Why are the Diamondbacks a favorite to win the wild card now? I don't know. All they did was got rid of PJ Higgins, and he wasn't even on the big league roster.
Oh, boy.
Ah, good old PJ. Now we got the backup, the third, the emergency, the not the, the guy stashed in Iowa this year is going to be, is it Jorge or George Alfaro? I think it's Jorge.
Jorge.
Yeah. I think he thinks he looks like Jason Momoa. He doesn't, but I think he thinks he does. He didn't have a shirt on under the jersey the other day. So you could see through his shirt and his pants. He's putting on quite a show.
Very impressive hair here on his baseball reference page. Yep.
Actually, as far as stashing an extra catcher, it's not a bad one. Like you wouldn't want to play him a lot. But the Cubs have had a lot worse. Like, oh God, we've got to bring a guy up than him.
Right.
I don't know if you saw this, but our old buddy Wilson Contreras is going full Josh Fegley this year. They're teaching him how to catch with his knee on the ground.
Oh no!
Take one of the most athletic catchers in baseball, and plant that knee right in the dirt.
Oh man!
I love the fact that the Cardinals have become so stupid. I just love it. It's great.
I love that this is the transition they're making from Yadier Molina to. I hope like it's Yadi that's like teaching him this technique as well. Oh man!
Yadi's like, you know, sometimes you can just sit down. If it's really, it gets hot, you just sit. That's fine. The ump's going to call everything a strike. Like, no, that's only for you, Yadi.
You know, hey, Wilson, take some of this pine tar right here. Put it on your chest protector. You won't ever have to chase down a ball behind you again.
Yeah. Yadi's just standing there whipping balls at Wilson's chest protector. Wilson's like, what are you doing? You don't have enough shit on there. These aren't sticking. Go tar up.
Yeah.
Now, so Oliver Marmol. You could bet on this stuff. I need to do this. I should save this for like a season preview. If you can bet on first manager fired, it's Oliver Marmol.
Okay, that's what I was going to say.
You can't give me low enough odds. I'll take it. I'll take anything because Yadi is now like a special assistant. He's going to be the manager before the All-Star break.
Interesting.
And I have a feeling Yadi's going to manage in like full gear. Like they're going to show him and he's going to have the mask on and the chest protector. And it's just like, I feel more part of the game. Either he'll wear basketball shorts and a tank top.
Well, have it be the reverse of David Ross's last regular season game where he like came out in full catcher's gear, like on the mound with Joe Madden. He'll just come out to the mound himself with the catcher's gear on.
Is that he put himself in the game? No, he just likes to wear the stuff. Oh.
Guys, guess what? I activated myself.
He likes the knee savers. They're so comfortable.
Right. He actually sleeps on them.
That's what he should do. He manages. He only wears the shin guards with the knee savers. He doesn't wear the chest protector or the mask. He just always has the shin guards.
Right.
Just in case. What if a ball rolls into the dugout? I don't want to get hit in the shin. But yeah, that's my. I guarantee you, that's gonna be one of my fearless predictions for 2024.
Yachty's something?
Yachty's taking over early.
You may be right on that, but I think the same situation exists up for our friends in Milwaukee, too. Because didn't they hire, like, Ricky Weeks as, like, special assist or assistant manager was his official title under Pat Murphy? And he's basically – everyone up there has basically said, like, he's manager in waiting.
Yeah.
So.
The red-faced Pat Murphy?
Yes.
Got a little
Notre Dame legend.
But only a little, though. I mean, you got to go full purple to be Clint. Good old Clint Turtle.
Yeah.
I wonder if there is. That's the first MLB manager fired. Can you get odds on that? Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if you need.
Oh, it's. I don't know. Here they are.
Go ahead. Oh, beautiful. Perfect.
What's this from? Covers.com. That doesn't seem like a real thing.
No free ads.
Oh, these are from last year. Because Phil Nevin's on it, and he's fired. All right, never mind.
Yeah.
Well, no. I'll do that for a future podcast.
All right. Yeah, I'm sure, you know, when we record close to opening day, yeah, he'll be up there.
The Brewers are like, we got to pay two guys? Well, no, you're already paying Ricky. Well, maybe. So I was with the Beloit Snappers when Ricky got drafted and got brought up right to Beloit. And because we were in the Midwest League West title race.
It sounds
east,
right.
East and the West. I don't
know. Peoria Chiefs were in there too, right? Cubs affiliate. Yeah,
played the Lugnuts in the championship series. Felix P.
Oh wait, no, okay. Maybe
Felix P.
I got
and
a different
Lugnuts.
Level of the minors. Okay. Playing some Lugnuts.
No, the Peoria Chiefs are in the Midwest League.
Okay, so maybe it was a different minor league team that was affiliated with the Cubs at that time. So Lansing, right.
Yeah, the Cubs had been Peoria, then they were Lansing, then they were Peoria again.
Right.
And now they've been South Bend now for South Bend was the White Sox then. They were the Silverhawks.
Fancy.
But anyway.
Should have been the Silver Sox, that affiliation. But
the second baseman before Ricky was a guy named Calix Crab, who did play in the big leagues, played for the Padres. It was like the coolest name, Calix Crab. And Calix was a nice player, but I don't know if he was hurt or he was tired, but he not like the day or two after the draft, he hit a ball and he didn't run hard and the infielder bobbled it and barely threw him out. And Don Money lost his shit. And so I get to hear it in the clubhouse after the game.
Nice.
And Don's yelling at him, "Did you see who they drafted number one? Did you see that?" And Calix kind of looking at him like, "Drafted a second baseman. What position do you play, Calix?" "Second base." "Yeah. Do you think they drafted him because they're so excited about you that you can half-ass it to first base on a ground ball to shortstop?" And then
that's
Ricky came up, and Calix, I think, became the DH. And Ricky played second. And Ricky, what he was really good at with Beloit, and he was good at getting hit by the pitches.
Yes, I remember that a lot. He kind of had a similar swing to like Gary Sheffield a little bit, where he'd do like the arm motion before.
He was a great college player. And he was a good, yep. I mean, he was way too good for the Midwest League coming right out of college. And it helped the Snappers win their half of the league. But now I'm intrigued. I got to look this up and see how many times he got hit.
Well, I'm seeing here on Calix Crab's baseball reference page. Born in St. Thomas. How many guys do you think were born in St. Thomas that played in the big leagues?
So, Ricky played in 20 games for the Snappers. 63 at-bats. This is Miguel Amaya-esque. Got hit by 6 pitches. one every 10 at-bats. Ricky was taking one in the ribs.
Right-handed Anthony Rizzo. Jeez.
What did he hit? He struggled at Beloit. 349, 494, 556.
Yeah, modest.
Yeah, he played. That's right. I remember this now. He got called up after he played for the Brewers that year at the very end of the season.
Oh, three, yep.
And then he didn't come back until 05. He may have had it. That may have been in his contract. Guys used to do that.
Where they would get called up their same draft
year. High picks were guaranteed to play in the big leagues their first year.
Maybe.
That's because you had the 40. You had to put him on the 40-man roster because he demanded a major league contract. He's on the 40-man. That was back in the days when you could call anybody from the 40-man up and not have to use an option.
Right.
So why not?
I can't remember anyone from like the Cubs ever doing that. Yeah.
Lance Dixon got drafted and out of Arizona, a little lefty. What year was that? 93? And the Cubs needed a pitcher. They needed a starter, and they called him up after just a few minor league games, and he went 0-3, and he blew out his arm, and 1990, and he never pitched in the big leagues again.
Yikes.
So, yeah,
Well, maybe it's a good thing they didn't keep that tradition going.
23rd overall pick in the 90 draft. Very Bob Horner-like. Made his big league debut on August 9th. Pitched six innings against the Cardinals. Lost 3-1. 8 hits, 3 runs. His last start against the Barbs, the Cubs lost a nail-biter, 17-6. And that was it for Lance.
Yeah, hardly knew him.
That was the Jim Fry Cubs. He was the 23rd pick. I was like to see who got picked. Oh, God.
Here, let me pull this up, too.
Look who the 24th pick is. Another one of my all-time favorite Cubs, although in a very brief.
Oh, Rondell.
Rondell White was one pick after Lance Dixon. Now, if Rondell White gets drafted by the Cubs instead of the Expos, and he gets to play in that lush grass of Wrigley Field, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Had a pretty solid career in his own
Actually,
right,
he might have been a Hall of Famer, but he would have been one of the top five left fielders on the Remember This Crap podcast.
There we go.
I think Huey
would
put him on the list anyway after like 100 games over two seasons.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
They missed him by one pick because they took Lance Dixon.
Yeah. Very least would have been a Harold Baines Hall of Famer.
Was that their only pick? Sometimes they had, yeah.
Like a compensation pick? Well, I wouldn't imagine.
Yeah, because they were picking 23rd because of the 89 Cubs, the playoff Cubs.
Yeah, 89 were damn good. Funny to think about that era too, and like the fact that Jim Fry was the GM and he was so poor at his job, but around the same time, like they were having a lot of pretty high potential guys come up that were like finishing pretty high in the rookie of the year voting.
He was just giving away Dave Martinez and Rafael Palmeiro.
Well, there may be other reasons for that.
Yeah, but we know what the reasons were. Miss baseball, man, that stuff happens. No one could field a team if every team got rid of the guys who are banging the second baseman's wife. Teams would be forfeiting. You wouldn't even be able to play a spring training game. Where are the Cubs giving in? Ryan's got to suck it up, man.
Yeah.
I know. Jim talked like that. Ryan, I know it's embarrassing to be cucked by two of your teammates, but those guys, those are pretty good ball players. I made him sound like Paul Lind, for anybody who knows who Paul Lind sounds like. So Jim Fry's the center square. About this, Jim Fry gets fired as manager, comes back
Friday.
A year later, and is the radio announcer.
Oh, wow.
Terrible. One of the worst. Yeah. And I always felt like they just were like, oh, we got to get Fry out of the booth. He's terrible. We'll just make him the general manager. And I think he got replaced by Dave Nelson, a former player who didn't play for the Cubs. I don't think Davey played for the Cubs.
Played with the Mariners, I think?
And maybe the Indians, back when they were the Indians. And he was also terrible. Just awful.
Jeez.
There was some, I mean, to the point where, Dave.
That was with Dwayne Statz's play-by-play on radio?
Yes. Yep.
Texas is where he played mostly. Yeah, he did start out in Cleveland. So
he played for the Senators.
The
Senators, the Indians, the Royals, and the Rangers.
I was wondering what the hell WSA was. Yeah.
WSA. Wow. So he moved with them to Texas. And it's funny. The Senators are the Twins, and they're the Rangers.
Right.
Because they flopped once. Moved to Minnesota, flapped again, started a new team, flapped again, and moved them.
Yeah.
Kind of like,
Well, you know about the Orioles? Like, the Yankees are the Orioles, because the Yankees franchise started in Baltimore as the Orioles, and then I think the current-day Orioles franchise started in Milwaukee as the Brewers.
Well, they were the Browns, I know.
For a long time before they moved to Baltimore, yes.
Yeah, the good old that was barely a team.
Yeah,
St. Louis Browns. They did play in a World Series during the war, though. So did the Cubs.
Yes. So yes, just, correct.
Just how, when every able-bodied man was either in the Pacific or in Europe fighting, the Cubs' entire roster was intact because none of them could pass the physical.
That's how. And then it was Stan Musial. Right. That's how Phil Cavaretta wins an MVP with like two home runs.
They're like, we got to give it to somebody. Yeah, give it to Phil. He seems like a hell of a guy.
Yeah. I think I read somewhere too that like some newspaper writer around that time, when it, you know, when it, the, after the point where the Tigers had already clinched the AL and the Cubs had already clinched the NL, that he declared it as like a World Series that no, neither of these teams should win because they were so bad.
Yeah, you're right. The Milwaukee Brewers, the original 1901, then moved to St. Louis to be the Browns from 02 until they moved to Baltimore.
Sometime in the 60s?
54. Ah. And they didn't have a winning season in Baltimore until their eighth year. That was a bad team that moved to Baltimore.
Sheesh.
Take what you can get.
Yeah.
I think the Browns only had, well, this is makes for great podcast, but it looks like
the only
1924 until they moved, they had 1, 2, 3, 4. Six winning seasons.
Oof.
In 30 years. Is that bad?
Wow.
That seems bad.
That's
very Cub-like. If you go through, there's a whole stretch of the Cubs in the 50s.
Like 47 to... I was, by the way, very like impressed when you were talking about left fielders with Donahue about the stretch that they had in the 50s of having like a Hall of Famer like the entire time.
Yeah.
And then I tweeted this too. Like, they have a Hall of Famer the entire time and don't have a winning season. And then you get to 2016, the greatest Cubs team of all time, and they don't have an everyday left fielder.
Yeah, we didn't have a left fielder. Okay, so the last thing, I know you saw this quote. Jonathan India stirred up some Cub fans.
Yeah.
He was asked his reaction to the Cubs getting Cody Bellinger, and he said, oh, he's a really good player, but we're still going to win the division because they're the same team as last year. And I read that and thought, man, I think he's right. They had to make that move just to get back to where they were last year.
However, I mean, you could make – I was – go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, however, there is one notable upgrade other than Shota over Stroman. It is the monumental upgrade of Craig Counsell over David Ross.
Exactly.
Yes, which should cure a lot of ills.
Well, and, you know, looking at the Reds, I mean, what, other than signing Jamer Candelario, Cubs legend, what did they exactly do?
I admire the Reds' dedication to not having any pitchers.
Right.
Should we get some? No, we're fine. We got Hunter Green. He'll throw 112 miles an hour, and then after his third start, his elbow will fly into the stands, and then we won't have anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be fun for three games.
Right.
Yeah. And the other thing that's funny, that Jonathan India is the one talking shit. When, if they play their best nine guys, he's not in the lineup.
Yeah. Yeah. He's getting replaced by Matt McClain.
He's one of those guys, right? He was Rookie of the Year, right?
And
then they brought up a whole bunch of guys who were all better than him.
He won Rookie of the year that Patrick Wisdom set the Cubs rookie record for home runs. And I think Wisdom finished fourth.
He did have a pretty good rookie year.
Right.
269, 376, 459, 21 homers, 69 RBIs, 12 stolen bases. He was okay. But since then, he's at 249 and 244. And the Reds keep bringing up guys who are better than him in the infield.
Well, take a look right now at the one piece of black ink on his baseball reference page. He led the league in hit by pitches in 2021. And then after they started decreasing, funny enough, so did his on-base percentage and OPS. So maybe that was all just a fluke.
Pitchers realized, well, we should probably be throwing this guy strikes. Because he doesn't hit him.
Yeah.
it's
yeah, whatever. You know, I can't take the Reds as currently constructed seriously. And honestly, like, it's hard for me to really ever envision them winning a division unless they have far and away the best roster in the NL Central, because and they don't at this point. But just, you know, playing in that ballpark and having, you know, the thought of like every possible fly ball being hit out for a home run, and you don't have that strong of a pitching staff, they may be competitive. They may get a wild card spot, but I can't see them winning the division.
I mean, I can't take them seriously if they're going to go, if every year they're going to give up like 11 homers to Ian Happ.
Yes. Thank you.
You can't get Ian Happ out. Perfect. It's like, now that would have been, now maybe in 3 years we'll get to find out. You know, he went to college there.
Right.
I wonder if they would have gone after him had he been a free agent. Apparently they probably would have. But I there's some real Jeff Blauser potential there, where you give the guy all the money and you bring him into the park where he just raked his, he killed you as an opponent. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, mm-hmm. God, he sucks now.
Dang.
We can't find out until 2027 because he has no trade until then.
Man, imagine Ian Happ facing the Cubs and just being an automatic out the whole time. That would have been great. But he's here, and, you know, we have to love him for it.
Well, he's never hit a high fastball, ever. Ever.
No. No, he'll forever have a hole in his swing.
But teams don't seem to, at least certainly the Pirates and Reds don't ever pitch there.
Right.
They're like, oh, no, his guy's great.
I think he does pretty well against the Cardinals, too.
Yeah, actually, every team in the Central he hits pretty well against. I think even the Brewers last year he hit well against.
I mean, I'll tell you this. I was there the game July 4th when he had the game-winning assist at the plate. I don't know what, you know, I couldn't tell you what he did at the actual plate.
He threw those two guys out from 98 feet.
Right.
Like, why are you running? I mean, yeah, I know that it says you can run on this guy, but he's basically standing at third base. Don't run on him now. I mean, here's the thing. Like, we know from watching him, it's not that he's not accurate. He just doesn't have a real strong arm. When he's reasonably close to home plate, both of those throws, he's going to make a good throw. And
exactly. They did it both times. What are you running for?
It's like, okay, try it again. Well, you're out again. Nice job. Let's see. Last year against the Brewers. Yeah, he had 1,000 OPS against the Brewers last year.
Eesh. Okay.
He had 1,071 against the Brewers, 1,104 against the Reds, 1,124 against the Pirates. And how'd he do against the Cardinals?
Cardinals, 1,038. 980 against the White Sox. So yeah, at least,
he also lit up the least Nationals.
So yeah, 1101. Wow.
But that's pretty good. He had a OPS of over 1,000 against every team in the division.
So yeah, then you scroll. Don't scroll down and look at what he did against the Diamondbacks, though, because that's not pretty.
Diamondbacks, Braves. He did it at the Dodgers. They played the Dodgers
7 times. 4 at Wrigley, 3 in LA. Yeah.
He had already against them.
Yeah.
But most good teams he didn't hit, which tracks. All right. Well, you know, I didn't let you plug your other podcast at the beginning. I'm a bad host.
No worries, Andy. But yeah.
Reward all the people who made it to the end. I'll do this at the beginning from now on.
Here's your plug. Now take it, folks. In addition to this podcast for this season, also continuing on with the Chicago Sports Bums this year. Again, you know, last season they've been very gracious to me. They mainly a White Sox site, but they were looking to expand their coverage into all Chicago sports. So myself, John Oliva, we will be hosting a live YouTube show every Monday or Tuesday night, depending on what his work schedule looks like. But that can all be seen Chicago Sports Bums YouTube page. Follow the podcast page on Twitter at Bums and Bleachers.
All right. Sounds good.
Yep.
Well, I'm glad to have you aboard to talk Cubs this year. I think it's going to be fun. I think they're actually going to be kind of good. So,
I believe so too.
All right. Well, thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Andy.
Many of us have herpes.
This is rough, but it's also finished.
It's fitting. It's got to be done with one of the best games of all time. Just unbelievable. Got to congratulate the Dolan family.